This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns and Chad P.
In the same way that the Stones are doing and celebrate 50 years.
Well, says you. Says you, no reason. But
well,
why did those guys leave?
Well, either
there
I
could
have
be
no
bad
idea.
Blood.
After 50 years.
Hey, you don't know what happened back
That's
in 62.
I don't.
Where were you in 62?
Not even a thought yet in my dad's mind.
Class is in.
This is Rock School, and believe it or not, I haven't figured it out in terms of days and such, but do you know what Earth show this is for us?
Earth? Oh, let's see.
It's the Earth show.
It's in the deuces.
It's the Earth show.
What is it, $2?
250th show today.
It's not even a challenge anymore, man. I sit back and do this with one arm.
Nothing to it.
Right.
250 shows. This is our 250th show, which means we're 10 away from 260,
mm-hmm.
obviously. Huh? Mathematical genius
Look
sitting over here in the air chair. 260 will be 5 years.
That's right.
250.
Wow.
We've never doubled a topic.
Nope.
Never missed a week.
Nope.
And never run a rerun.
No.
Fantastic. 250 shows.
We're now, still walking.
Through what? Two flus and two hurricanes.
Two hurricanes.
And a couple of people passing away as well. But the show lingers on. 250. I figured that we had to do something for the number 250. Now, if you remember when we did our 200th show, I did the Billboard Top 200 albums.
Mm-hmm.
There's really not a whole lot of significance in the world of music to the number 250. But there is significance to the number 50. In fact, this year is the significance to the number 50. The year 1962, it's being thrown around. I don't know if you subscribe to Rolling Stone, but they cannot be quiet about the Rolling Stones. This is the Rolling Stones' 50th year
as
a band.
We talked about that a few weeks ago.
That's right. They formed in 62, played the Marquee Club in July, as a matter of fact, with a lineup of Jagger, Richards, Brian Jones, Ian Stewart on piano, and Dick Taylor on bass.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Chapman played drums. Now, their first record was 64. The record was called The Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm.
There's this massive talk of bringing all the members back, including Bill Wyman, who left them a short while ago, Mick Taylor, who played with them 69 to 74. He was on Sticky Fingers, Exile on Main Street. The backup singers, they're talking about bringing back Tony Chapman, also Dick Taylor. Anybody who played with the Stones would be on this tour.
Uh-huh.
Or there's talk of doing nothing.
Nothing at all. All or nothing.
Right. So what I did is I thought to myself, if the Stones have been doing this for 50 years, has anyone else been doing this for 50 years?
I'm sure they have a few.
Sure. Well, I can
do
a show on it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I went with could, should, can. They could do it since all the members are around. They should do it since all the members are around. Or they can do it because all the members are around.
Cool
Some
deal.
Bands are actually still playing.
Mm-hmm.
Some members have passed, but
That's
the bands
right.
are still playing.
Yep.
So we'll start with the Stones, and then for an hour, I'll tell you about the other bands and the other people who are celebrating this year 50 years in the business. There's a lot more than you'd think. However, they're being overshadowed by the Stones. If the Stones come around, I had a chance to see them when I was in Vegas, I guess it was about a decade ago, and I didn't pull the trigger because tickets were $200 a piece. I still hate myself for not doing it. If the Stones come around again, this time I'll see them.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have a very nice salary for doing this radio program.
Sure, pay me double tomorrow, which means nothing from nothing leaves nothing.
Again, math.
I hope they play this Doo-Doo Heartbreaker. Rock School.
city.
This is Rock School celebrating our 250th show.
We
don't we sound like we know what we're doing?
Yeah, it does. You know, the radio station here got us a little banner. What is it, scotch tape?
It is. They put one letter to the word congratulations on a single piece of paper and then pasted it all together. And look, they swapped two of the letters. So it actually says congratulations. Fantastic. We're in radio, man.
Trees had to die for this thing. Look at this. Wow. And we even got a cake.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Chocolate with, I think that says congratulations on the top and red icing.
It's the same thing that this thing up here says.
No, the afternoon jock came up and ran his finger through it. So I think it was the afternoon jock.
I love it.
I hope it was because I wouldn't touch anything the afternoon guy touched anyway.
I've been racking my brain. And I want to say the names of all of these artists that have been around for a while, but I don't know necessarily if they all date back to 62.
Well, that's the problem. When I started looking for it, I found websites that were basically, where were you in 62? That kind of thing. That's how I found them.
Right.
And I went back and I looked at my Billboard book of top 40 hits to find out when their first hit was. Uh-huh. And if their hit was 62 or 63, I figured I had a fairly good shot of when they were. And then I used, I hate to say it, Wikipedia, because it had a nice little thing that stated when the band started.
Yeah, so is that how we're going to measure it? Did they have to start by 62, or did they have to produce a hit by 62?
I tried to make it equivalent to the Rolling Stones. Mm-hmm. Stones started in 62. That's when they formed.
Right.
So that's what I tried to do.
Okay.
When they formed. The Standells.
Who?
Now, you probably don't know them by their name, but I'll bet you know one of their songs. Well, I love that dirty water.
Oh, those guys did that? Bump.
They formed in 1962. They were a garage rock band that everybody thinks is from Boston because of the song Dirty Water. Mm-hmm. In reality, they're from Los Angeles, California. The song is actually written from their producer, Ed Cobb, who was mugged on a bridge that went over the River Charles. Yeah, at the time the song was on the charts, none of the band members had actually been to Boston. All right? The band has never quit.
Oh, cool.
They've been around since 62. Currently, it's Larry Tamblyn, John Fleck, and Greg Burnham. However, the other original members, Jody Rich and Benny King, are still alive, so a reunion could be had.
We need to make this happen.
Yes, that's right. Let's
get on the phone right now.
Standells, Dirty Water. Yes, Rock School.
I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you about my town. I'm going to tell you a big fat story, baby. It's all about my town.
Yeah. Rock School, as we talk about bands that have been together or could get together and perform in the same way the Stones have been together or celebrating their 50 years, these bands could do it as well. You like the Hollies?
I do.
Hollies, same way, same as the Standells, except they're a little more famous than the Standells. They have been performing in one lineup or another since 1962. So if you go see the Hollies this year, there they are. The original lineup was Alan Clark, lead vocalist, Graham Nash, obviously went on to Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Vic Steele was on guitar, Eric Haydock on bass, and Don Rathbone on drums. Almost immediately, Steele leaves, Tony Hicks comes in and replaces him, Bobby Elliott comes in and replaces Don Rathbone. So two original members go off. So what I did was immediately go to see if all these people were still alive.
Mm-hmm.
They are. Every single one of them is still alive. So there's no reason why, just as the Stones are doing what they're doing or discussing doing what they're doing, bringing back every original member of the band, no reason that the Hollies, who, by the way, went into the Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2010, couldn't come back and, as the original Hollies from 62 and the what becomes the famous lineup of the Hollies in 63, again, perform in the same way that the Stones are doing and celebrate 50 years.
Well, says you, no reason. But why did those guys leave?
Well,
there could be bad blood.
After 50 years.
Hey, You don't know what happened back
in
62.
I don't.
Where were you in 62?
Not even a thought yet in my dad's mind. But you're right. It could be that there's bad blood between them. But in the same way that I hope Guns N' Roses are smart enough to actually perform on the same stage going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I hope these guys could get together. I would think they can. At this point in time, these guys are all late 60s, early 70s.
You're comparing that hope to Guns N' Roses?
Yeah, I am.
There's hope, and then there's hope.
Yeah, and then there's Guns N' Roses. I know. Long Cool Woman, Black Dress, Hollies, Rock School. Talking about things that have been around for 50 years. Well, why did you say things? It should be bands. Because I got two things on here that aren't bands. Do you know about Phil Spector's Wall of Sound?
I do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. A lot of people state that it was Be My Baby by the Ronettes that really started Phil Spector's Wall of Sound. I'm not so sure. I've never been so sure that that was the first one to do it. And I'll tell you why. I think Phil Spector's Wall of Sound started in 62.
Why?
And if it did start in 62, this would be the 50th anniversary of it. I know it's not a band, it's not a singer, but it is something in the world of music when you say the Wall of Sound.
We know what you're talking about.
Right, everybody sort of jumps on it. Again, 63 was Be My Baby. However, the Wall of Sound came out of Gold Star Studios in L.A., and the reason the Wall of Sound was so, I guess, real popular at the time, A, it sounded great, but not only did it sounded great on AM radios and jukeboxes. It was so full of echo, it was so full of lush overdubbing, that even on little tiny cruddy mono speakers, it filled the room.
Yes.
It had all of that additional, you know, following reverb behind it, that it filled the room. That's really why the Wall of Sound was so spectacular. It had an audio blast to the equipment that was there at the time. Well, He's a Rebel by the Crystals was supposed to be on Philly's Records that was done in Gold Star Studios. And it sounds a lot to me like the Wall of Sound. Here was the concept. It was supposed to be done on Liberty by Vicky Carr.
Yeah.
But Phil Spector, who was working for Liberty and Phillies, immediately grabs the song and undercuts Vicky Carr.
Oh.
Runs into Gold Star Studio and records a cover version using Darlene Love and the Blossoms and attributes it to the Crystals.
And that's so dirty.
It is.
Why would he do that?
Well, he's in jail for possible murder right now, and this is what's bothering you? He's a Rebel comes out in 52, and to me, it sounds like the first attempt at the Wall of Sound.
Could be.
So if I'm to make a guess, I say the Wall of Sound began in 62.
Well, guess what? It made a good segment for this show.
It sure did. There you go. He's a Rebel. Crystals, or the other people right here. Rock School.
See the way he walks down the street.
All right, first break here on Rock School. Here's another one that started in 62, but she's not with us anymore. Do you remember Little Eva? Do the locomotion with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, she passed away, darn it. So she couldn't, but started in 62. Okay.
What?
Tell me if I'm out in left field on this one.
Oh, boy.
I brought a song to play,
But?
Beatles. Beatles.
I thought, well, wait a minute.
Yeah, I know.
The Beatles technically didn't start in 62.
They started before 62. However, it's the Beatles as we know them. Ringo Starr.
All right. Yeah, because the Beatles had other members.
That's right. So it doesn't really equate to what the Rolling Stones. See, the Rolling Stones played with multi-members at the first gig in 62.
Yeah.
So Ringo Starr played their first gig August 18th at the Port Sunlight Horticultural Society annual show in Birkenhead. January 5th, the first album on which the Beatles play, My Bonnie, is credited to Tony Sheridan and the Beat Brothers. And then October 5th, the Beatles released their first single for EMI, Love Me Do. However, the Beatles obviously had been around long before as the Quarrymen. I don't know that fits, because that only had a couple of things. Then there was the Silver Beatles with Pete Best.
Right. No,
I get it.
But if you ask someone to name the Beatles,
no one comes up with
Pete
Best.
Commonly, they're going to say Harrison, Martin,
McCartney, John Paul, George, and Lennon.
Right.
Yeah, so technically...
You know what? When it comes down to it, Doc, it gives us a reason to play a Beatles song.
That's right. And maybe towards the end we will, but I just wanted to throw that out there and see if it flew.
I think it flies.
I don't know. Maybe it hits a wall and falls to the ground. But so, hello, KLSU on the Tiger Radio Network over there. Thanks for running the radio show.
Hello, KSCL in Shreveport, Louisiana. They can name every Beatle member, past, present, and future.
Really?
That's right.
Including George Martin?
The future Beatles that are going to be...
Wow, the fifth Beatle?
That's right.
Search Rock School Radio Show, and you'll get us on Facebook. Make sure you like us. You really like us. We've passed 250. We're getting up to 300. Remember, our whole purpose for being on Facebook is, of course, world domination. Back in a minute. Rock School. All right, it's our 250th show. We're talking about bands that have been around for 50 years. How about the Yardbirds?
How about them?
Yeah, formed 1962, disbanded in 68, and then reformed in 1992. However, they are missing one of the key members. So let me run this past you.
Okay.
They started as the Metropolitan Blues Quartet in 1962, playing around London suburbs, just gigging where they could.
Got it.
Keith Relf, drummer Jim McCarty. Relf was the singer, also played harmonica. Rhythm guitarist, bassist Chris Dreja. That was the core of the group.
Okay.
Relf dies of electrocution in 1976, was playing in his basement barefoot, stepped on a pipe, and that was that.
Wow.
Now, the Yardbirds reformed in 92, put out an album called Birdland in 2003, and a live CD came out in 2007. Now, obviously, two main first people are there, McCarty and Dreja. Okay. However, Beck, Page, and Plant, the guitarists, are still around. Would you go see the Yardbirds, even though Relf, the main voice, the singer, is gone, but you could see Beck, Page, and Plant? Is that enough?
Well, for me, it would be enough. But I know for some people, they have to get their harmonica fix in.
Now, they'd have a serious harmonica player. I mean, they're out there. You just hire a gun to come in and play the parts.
Sure.
But I know the voice is gone. People go see Journey.
That's
people
right.
go see Foreigner. You find somebody who can equate the voice. To me, the Yardbirds have always been the guitarist. And if you can get those three guys, Beck, Page, and Plant, this is a shoulda. They should form, and for 50 years, the Yardbirds about for 50 years. That's my opinion. Would you go see them?
Sure.
Would you? So would I.
Sure.
In fact,
I would.
We should go see them. Here you go. For Your Love. Here are the Yardbirds. Rock School.
For Your Love. For Your Love. For Your Love.
I'd give you everything and more, and that's for sure.
Bottom of the hour here on Rock School, 250 shows. You know, we haven't been doing the 7 days and 70 seconds for the entire 250 show run. Do you remember what we did?
I do.
It was a year before we started doing this. What did we do before that?
Well, we would do a little bit called Stump the Professor.
Yeah, you would ask me a trivia question.
And I got tired of you answering them right, so I demanded that we do something else.
You know, I like that. Let's do this. These dates, January 16th, that's a Monday, through January 22nd. That is a Sunday. I believe Chad has Monday. Go.
I do. January 16th, 1996, Jamaican authorities fire upon Jimmy Buffett's seaplane after mistaking it for a drug trafficker's plane. Whoops. Neither Buffett nor his passenger Bono
yeah.
were hurt.
That's how many times do you get to shoot at Bono?
Jimmy,
Bono.
What are they doing?
Yeah, take a shot at Bono. Go ahead. January 17th, 1994, Donny Osmond fought the Partridge Family's Danny Bonaducci in a charity boxing match in Chicago, Illinois. By the way, Bonaducci won in a split decision.
Bonaducci, you're such a pansy. You couldn't knock Donny Osmond out.
I was going to say, of all the people, you couldn't take down Donny Osmond?
In a split decision. You should have got a unanimous decision, you pansy. January 18th, 1969, Pete Best won a defamation suit against the Beatles. Now, he was asking for a cool $8 million, but the Beatles' statement that the settlement was considerably less.
Yeah, I would think a lot less. January 19th, 1993, the U.S. Supreme Court agrees that Tom Waits is allowed to keep the $2.5 million awarded to him by a lower court after he sued Frito-Lay for using a sound-alike in a 1998 commercial.
For those of you on the record, Chad P. hates Tom Waits.
Now you're probably wondering why anyone would want a sound-alike for Tom Waits.
Can't stand Tom Waits. January 20, 1958, Elvis Presley got his orders to report to duty in the U.S. Army. Well, the date included a 60-day deferment so he could wrap up filming King Creole.
That's right. January 21st, 1982, B.B. King donates his entire record collection to the University of Mississippi Center for the Study of Southern Culture. The collection includes over 200,000 mint-condition rare blues records.
Yeah.
I know. And then January 22nd, 1990, Slash uses the F-bomb three times on live TV during the American Music Awards.
Not once, not twice, but thrice.
That's right. You have to do it three times.
Wow.
You know, you got to be rock and roll, man. Bands that are still or are able to do it after 50 years. How about Martha Reeves and the Vandellas? The original lineup was Rosalind Ashford, Betty Kelly, and Martha Reeves. Now, they went for 10 years.
Sure.
Formed 62, broke up in 72. There are other people that were in the group. Lois Reeves, who, by the way, still sings with Martha Reeves as a Vandella. Annette Beard, who performs as the original Vandellas with Ashford. So there's two Vandellas out there. And another lady that was part of them, Sandra Tilly, who, by the way, has passed away. All of the women that I just mentioned all went into the Rock Hall of Fame in 1995. But the original lineup, Ashford, Kelly, and Reeves, are all still alive, all available, and they don't tour together as the Vandellas, but since this is the 50th year, they could. So it's entirely possible that if they could have contractual agreements and blah-de-dee-blah-de-dee-blah-de-dee-blah-de-dee-blah taken care of, you could see, for the 50th year, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas playing. And wouldn't that be great? There'd be nowhere to run. Rock School. Talking about bands that have been around or could have been around for 50 years. I say could because they can reform like we just talked about with Martha Reeves and the Vandellas. I also said during the first half hour that I had two things that had been around for 50 years.
One
first
was the Wall of Sound,
right?
What's the other one? A microphone?
A&M Records. Oh. A&M Records was launched in 1962, and I know it's big now to have sort of these traveling shows that have like 9 or 10 bands in them.
Mm-hmm.
This would be a good thing for A&M Records to do because they had so many major names while they were out there. A&M Records is launched in 1962, and its first single was Lonely Bull by Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass.
Why do you growl
well,
when you
just
say the name of
it? I just think that's a neat way to say
Bull.
It.
Lonely Bull.
Lonely Bull. It makes sense because the A in A&M Records stands for Alpert, as in Herb Alpert.
Got it.
Yeah, the M stands for Jerry Moss. Within a decade, A&M becomes the world's largest independent record company, and then is gobbled up by PolyGram, mm-hmm. which is then gobbled up by the Universal Music Group, which now operates under the mantle of Interscope Geffen A&M Division.
Yeah.
So A&M still exists. It's just part of this conglomerate. It's not like the label no longer exists, but A&M is still out there. Let me tell you some of the people that were on A&M. Imagine plucking out 8 of these and putting them on tour. Carpenters, obviously can't do them. Lee Michaels, Quincy Jones, Steeler's Wheel, Rita Coolidge, Cat Stevens, Tony Basil, Joan Baez, Joe Cocker, Procol Harum, Humble Pie, Free, The Move, Spooky Tooth, Y&T, Nazareth, The Tube, Styx, Rick Wakeman, Ozark Mountain Daredevils, Chuck Mangione, Squeeze, Peter Frampton.
Yeah, I think I could sell a few tickets.
Yeah, you could put together a real nice traveling little system there. And this guy we're going to play, he joined the label in 1971. Billy Preston, right here, Rock School. All right, second break here on Rock School. Time to talk about a couple that we're not going to play. You familiar with the Trash Men?
I've seen the name.
Yeah, Papa Uma Mau Mau, Papa Uma
Mau. That's who, okay, yeah.
Surfing Bird. Tony Anderson, lead guitar and vocals. Dow Wilson on guitar and vocals. Steve Wehrer on drums and vocals. Bob Reed on guitar. Apparently, they are still all together. There's no concerns except that Steve Wehrer is not performing with the group anymore. I don't know why. The Facebook page suggests all the band members are still with us and all is wonderful except for Steve Wehrer. Why he's no longer performing with the group, I don't know.
Well, where is he?
I don't know. But there you are. So if you want, you can see them. Now, they only perform locally. Mm-hmm. They're a Northeastern band, but they only perform locally, and there they are.
Oh, no. I'm not traveling to the Northeast.
Just to see the Trash Men perform Surfing Bird?
I wouldn't travel to the Northeast.
I wonder if they perform it first and then last, because if you go see a band that has only one hit, if you go to, like, see Europe, they open with the Final Countdown and close with the Final Countdown.
Right.
We have other songs.
All that stuff in between is a big, long bathroom break.
That's right. What did the guy say, the comedian say? Leonard Skinner has two songs, Free Bird and Not Free Bird. Yeah. Bob Seger is not celebrating his 50th year because he started in 61. He started, so this is his 51st year.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's a question about Bob Dylan.
Oh, what?
Dylan started playing in clubs in 61.
Okay.
So technically, this is his 51st year, but he legally changed his name to Bob Dylan in 62. So, is this his 50th year?
As or, Bob Dylan,
that's
yeah.
right. Or is this his 51st year because he started playing in clubs last year?
Well, what was he before he was
Zimmerman.
Bob Dylan?
Zimmerman.
Lord, no. Nobody wants to go see Bob
so
Zimmerman.
So, you're going to call this his 50th year?
Sure. Why not?
Chad has spoken.
That's right.
Hello, Radio Universidad, Salamanca, Spain. Thanks for running the radio show.
Hello, WBSD in Burlington, Wisconsin. We appreciate all of our affiliates here on the Rock School Radio Network.
You bet we do. Back in a minute. We're going to talk about the animals. Rock School. This is Rock School's 250th show. We couldn't find anything to do with the number 250, so we just lopped off the two, and we're doing something with the number 50.
Right.
These are all bands that have been around or could be around for 50 years if they would get back together. You familiar with the animals?
The animals.
The animals, right. Mm. I have here the animal story. I have it written down, and I'm not sure I understand it, so follow along.
Okay, throw it here.
They were formed in Newcastle upon Tyne in 1962.
Okay.
That was the original rundown. It was called Alan Price Rhythm and Blues Combo.
Mm-hmm.
When they were joined in 63 by Burden is when they really became the Animals, but they existed in 62. Eric Burden vocals, Alan Price organ and keyboards, Hilton Valentine guitar, John Steele drums, and Brian Chaz Chandler on bass. Okay. Now, who owns the name? There have been a ton of incarnations. There's some members left and formed the Animals too. Then there was other Animals members that formed the Animals and Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Burden started releasing music under the name Eric Burden and the Animals, and then Eric Burden and the New Animals because he grabbed a new band because he said he owned the name. Not so, said the courts. Ownership of the actual name was taken away from Eric Burden in 1967 and given to original drummer John Steele, who was smart enough to actually trademark the name.
Mm-hmm.
So there's at least three different groups called the Animals floating around out there. Now, Chaz Chandler, the original bassist, died in 1996, so the actual original lineup can't play anymore. The Animals went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1994, so you have a chance this year to see a group called the Animals, but goodness only knows if any of them are actually an original animal.
Well, I got the solution for you right here.
What's that?
You said they originally formed
in
62 or 63, depending if you think Eric Burden is the guy.
The animals.
Yeah.
Got their name in 63.
That's what we, if you want to see the original Animals, you see this lineup, they're all alive except for bassist Chaz Chandler. So you'd have to have that lineup.
I think it's
with
all
some
a,
bases.
I think it's all a moot point.
You think it's a moot? You don't think they'll ever get together?
No.
I'd like to see a new band called The Happy Animals.
The Happy Animals.
Starring a, like an elephant.
The
on
Agreeable
bass.
Animals.
The Agreeable
the
Animals.
Get Along Gang.
Here you go. Boom, boom. Animals. Rock School. All right, we're starting to run out of time here on Rock School, so I'm going to give you some other bands that we're not going to actually play. The Righteous Brothers, this would have been their 50th year had Bobby Hatfield not passed away in 2003. Are you familiar with a band called The Seekers? They're an Australian group.
Nay.
They had two large hits here in the United States. Red Rubber Ball was one of them. The morning sun is shining like a red rubber ball. No? No, look? You didn't like it?
No,
not even the way
give me another line.
Not even the way I performed it there for you. They also had a semi-hit called I'll Never Find Another You. They actually are still together and the original lineup. So they broke up and got back together in 1992. And this one, the one we're going to play... Question Mark and the Mysterians, believe it or not. Question Mark, whose actual name is Rudy Martinez, the Library of Congress had to actually confirm it because Martinez wouldn't do that himself. They still play around Detroit without Question Mark. He has left rock and roll and is now a dog breeder. And also the original drummer, Eddie Serrato, passed away last year of a heart attack. I believe we even played them on the...
Punctuation show.
The Punctuation show. And I think we played a tip to Eddie Serrano, or at least mentioned him, on the Those Who Died in 2011
I think so,
show.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But they still gig around Detroit. So if you want to walk around Detroit, I guarantee you sometime this weekend or next, Question Mark and the Mysterians are still playing after 50 years on... One hit. So there you go. It's Question Mark. Mysterians. Rock School.
Too many teardrops for one heart to be crying.
All right, last break here on Rock School as we talk about bands that can celebrate their 50th anniversary. Now, this band... disbanded in 1971, so they are not performing together anymore, but all of the members except one are alive,
mm-hmm.
so they could. Are you familiar with Booker T and the MGs?
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. They were the house band of Stax Records, and if you heard some great 1960s soul, there's a good chance that these guys played on the backing of it. Now, they were, when they got together in 62... Booker T. Jones, obviously, on the organ, Steve Cropper, guitar, Steinberg, Louis Steinberg on bass, and Alan Jackson Jr. on drums. Louis Steinberg was almost immediately replaced by Donald Duck Dunn. That's the guy who always has a pipe sticking out of his mouth.
Sure.
Most people know a lot of these guys from the Blues Brothers movie.
Mm-hmm.
They were a lot, many of them were members of the Blues Brothers band. Alan Jackson Jr., the original drummer, passed away in 1975 because he tried to break up a home invasion.
Ooh.
Yeah, he was killed as part of a home invasion. These men, Willie Hall, Anton Figg, Steve Jordan, and Steve Potts, were all, at one point in time, drummers for Booker T and the MGs, and they're all still alive as well. So except for Alan Jackson Jr., who had that horrible run-in on a home invasion, they're all alive, and since this is their 50th year... could reform, reband, and perform as their 50th year.
Come on, fellas. Come on.
That's right. Get together.
You know, need y'all to come on out of retirement.
So we're going to play some Booker T and the MGs. We're going to end up with Behave. So for the 250th time, I'm Joe Burns.
I'm still Chad B.
You sure are. Class is dismissed.